from the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. This is the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a lot of things happening on the show today. Let's right off the bat say hello to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, how are you?
Doing well, George. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you. Got a lot of stuff to get to. You ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think everybody by now knows that Eddie George is going to be the new football coach at Tennessee State University. And the truth of it is, TSU, I think, has caught some unfair criticism of the fact that this has gotten out. This has been about a 6 to 8 week procedure, and I know that because I have known all along what was going on. And I think given the number of people who, before it was over, had to know something, I think it's amazing that it took until late Saturday, early Sunday for this to get out. So, Terry, you covered Eddie George. I did, too. I did a radio show with Eddie the first year that the Oilers were in town. And I think one of the things that's coming up is, why would he want to do this? And the answer I've given people is, Eddie George, at least for my dealings, was the most fierce competitor, hated to lose, more than any human being I have ever covered or, you know, had a some sort of a, you know, broadcast relationship with. And I think ultimately the fire probably was missing, even though he was doing so many other things that, you know, seemed to work in his career.
Yeah, I think Eddie George is the type of guy, from my dealings with him and knowing him over the years, that whatever he puts into something, he's going to put 110% into it, whether it was pursuing an acting career after his football playing days were over, or whether it was using his landscape architecture degree that he had to do some business in that field, and then some entrepreneurships, owning a restaurant. Everything that Eddie has gone into, he has really given it everything he has, and I kind of agree with you. There's a passion there inside of Eddie that doesn't want to lose. And I think there's a little bit of Eddie that says, I want to see if I can do this.
Terry, one of the things that I think he did early that was really smart was get with his old coach, Jeff Fisher. And you're going to find out tomorrow at the press conference that Jeff has helped him assemble an absolutely kick-butt coaching staff. In fairness to everybody involved, I'm not going to name any names today, but there are some really good people that have been put into that staff who are going to help him bridge the gap of the fact that he's never coached before.
Well, that's very interesting, and I wouldn't expect anything less, you know, and kudos to Jeff for helping arrange that and to apparently serve in an advisory capacity himself. I think one of the things, George, and I know a lot of people think that this is just kind of out of the blue, and you obviously, you know, had some knowledge of it and kind of kept it quiet. But when you think about things, if you go back to the glory days of Tennessee State football, when they were cranking out people like Too Tall Jones and Claude Humphrey and Richard Dent and so on down the line, you know, the point person, the CEO of that program was Big John Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I know of Big John Merritt didn't do a lot of the X's and the O's and things like that, but Big John Merritt went into Mama and Daddy's living room and recruited these guys and got them to come to Tennessee State. And then he relied on coaches like Joe Gilliam Sr. and many, many others to help bridge that gap. I'm not saying that John Merritt wasn't a good football coach. He was a great football coach. But he was a CEO, an administrator, and a closer in the recruiting process. And Eddie George has an opportunity to be kind of the same thing.
Terry, here's the other thing that John Merritt was. he was the guy that would go into white Nashville and get money. Because you think about it, Tennessee State has been predominantly a black, you know, historically black college.
Well, Jackson State, Mississippi Valley, Alcorn, all those, yes.
And John Merritt was the one guy that was really able to go into white Nashville, if you want to call it that, and be able to get funding and be able to get whatever assistance he needed to run the program. And my gut feeling is that Eddie George is going to be able to do the exact same thing.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right.
I'll give you this one little, not that it's a big deal by any stretch, but I'm very excited about it. We are going to sort of, what's the word, reinvent the old McLean dinners on June the 12th. Very excited about that. I'll be involved in it. Jeff Fisher, Eddie George, John McLean, John Dwyer. And we're going to do one of the old McLean dinners, if you will. You know, I've not done one of these in about, 10, 11 years?
Been a while.
It's been a while. I'm very excited about that. And I applaud Jeff Fisher so much for what he has done to help one of his former players. You know, I've gotten to watch this firsthand. And I'm telling you, his excitement level for Eddie is so cool. And, you know, he has done a lot for a lot of people over the years in the coaching world. And to watch what he has done for Eddie, it's pretty inspiring. It really is.
Well, I think it's great that, you know, he's doing this and that he is helping to set Eddie up for success. Because I think we all know that Eddie George is the type of person that whatever he has touched, pretty much he's been successful with. And I don't think he would go into this if he thought that there was, you know, it wasn't done first class and it wasn't done with the opportunity to be set up for success. And I think that that the relationship between him and Jeff Fisher and Eddie's desire to be a success, I think that goes hand in hand.
Yeah. So stay tuned because there'll be more on that coming. Terry.
Yes, George.
Guess what else we have?
Oh, updates, I'm sure.
Terry.
Do we have any gifts to the people?
No. Thank God. But Watson, we may have to do some reviewing of some of what Watson put out there. If you remember on Friday. Well, maybe you don't remember.
Well,
I backed Watson into a corner.
You banished me from the show on Thursday, remember?
Excuse me, say that again?
You banished me from the show on Thursday. That's at least kind of how you phrased it.
Okay, Terry, we now have stat of the day.
Excellent. I know.
Terry, this is a Masters question. Okay. As you know, the Masters just finished.
Yes, and it was won by Hideki Matsuyama. Is that right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Did he not pitch for the Yankees at one point?
No, Hideki Matsui is who you're thinking about. He was an outfielder for the Yankees.
Yeah, I remember well.
Quite a hitter, actually.
He was a heck of a hitter. Okay, here's the stat, but I'm going to turn it into a question. How many golfers have won multiple Masters titles?
Okay, I mean, there's some, like Tiger and Phil and Jack Nicklaus.
Okay, hold on a second.
Well,
hold on. Give me those names again.
Tiger, Phil, Jack Nicklaus.
Okay, Tiger has won 5. Phil Mickelson has won on 3 different occasions, 04, 06, and 2010. Jack Nicklaus, you mentioned, I believe, has won 6 times. The last one when he was 47 years old, 1986. Yeah. Maybe the most dramatic Masters of our lifetime. Okay, who else? Give me a few more.
Let's see. The guy that's won it a lot recently, Koepka.
Mr. Koepka, Terry, is not on the list.
Not on the list. Only one Masters for him, huh? Mm-mm. He's won a lot of majors here lately.
Yeah. Terry, there is meat on the bone. Seve Ballesteros has won it twice, in 80 and in 83. Keep going.
Okay. Arnold Palmer?
Well, of course.
Yes.
The legendary Arnold Palmer, 58, 60, 62, and 64.
Another one from the Wayback Machine, Gary Player.
Has won it three times, in 61, 74, and 78. So he had a big gap in between the first and second.
And even further back, how about Ben Hogan?
Ben Hogan has won it twice, in 51 and 53. You're doing good. Keep going.
I'm doing well.
Done very well.
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't be prouder.
Now I'm running out of names. How many more are there?
Well, there was a total of 17 who have won it multiple 17. Times.
Wow.
17.
Okay.
You want me to give you
17.
Names?
I'll keep going for just a little bit.
Okay.
Tom Watson.
Tom Watson, 77 and 81. By the way, Lou Graham won the U.S. Open in 75.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Let's see. Lee Trevino.
It's a good guess. He's not in there.
Not in there.
One more. Give me one more.
One more. Oh, Nick Faldo.
Nick Faldo has won the Masters three different times, 89, 90, and 96. So here is the list. Nicklaus with six of them. Tiger with five. Arnold Palmer with four. Jimmy Demerit.
Probably wouldn't have gotten him.
No, 40, 47, and 50. Then Nick Faldo, Phil Mickelson, Gary Player, Sam Snead have all won it three times. Joe Mary Olathabal, Jose Maria, won it in 94 and 99. Seve Ballesteros has won it twice. Ben Crenshaw, Bernard Langer, Tom Watson, Bubba Watson, not related. Horton Smith, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson. That's a pretty good little, hey. You could win a couple of SEC golf titles with that group.
You could, absolutely.
Did you get to watch much of it?
I watched a little bit of it here and there.
I did not. You know where I was?
Did you go down to Bravo Land?
No.
Okay.
No, we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
I went to the TSU SEMO game.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. You know, the only thing... In all this, I'm very, very happy for Eddie George, but I do feel bad for Rod Reed. In this
we all
situation.
Do. Yeah.
Good man. Good man. I don't really know Rod Reed, but everybody I know that knows Rod Reed speaks very highly of him.
I would be one of those people. He's just a terrific human being. And like I said earlier on a radio station outside of Nashville, I hope for whatever happens in life for Rod Reed from here on in, I hope it's nothing but successful. He's a good man. Here's a story we knew was coming, but it's still sad. Former Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach Britt Reed has been charged with felony driving while intoxicated for his involvement in a car crash earlier this year that left a 5-year-old girl critically injured. The Jackson County Prosecutor's Office filed the Class D felony charge today, stating that Reed, quote, operated a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol and acted with criminal negligence by driving at an excessive rate of speed. If convicted, he would face a maximum sentence of 7 years in prison.
This is just sad all the way around.
It is.
You feel really bad for the family of that youngster that was seriously injured in the crash. And,
yeah.
And sad to be, you hope that Reed can get his life together. You know, you really do. I mean, because, you know, he's going to have to live with the sadness and the stain of this for the remainder of his life. And you hope and pray he can get his act together, and you hope and pray that this young girl that was injured can make a complete recovery.
Amen. There's a new name in the transfer portal, and he's a really good shooter if you can get him open. Mac McClung, Texas Tech, who a year ago transferred from Georgetown, but with the coaching change that has gone on with Chris Beard leaving Texas Tech to go to Texas, Mac McClung has put his name in the transfer portal. I do wonder if he ends up at Texas.
Very well might. That was my first thought. You know, the thing about that is this transfer portal is just allowing just rampant free agency that I never thought would exist in college athletics, because this would be three schools in 3 years for McClung, wherever he winds up. You know, to me, that kind of defeats the spirit of what college athletics are about, when you just, you know, follow the coach, or, you know, I'm not happy here, so I'm jumping off and going over here.
Terry, I really think it's funny, because I spoke to a civic club earlier today, and this topic came up. I really think somebody is going to have to write up some legislation that makes sense of some middle ground, because on one hand, players have earned the right to some level of movement because coaches have a level of movement that's available to them. But this thing has gotten totally out of control, and somebody's going to have to do something.
It really has. You know, I don't know which is more harmful, the rampant transfer for portal rules or the one and done. At first, I would have said the one and done, because I think so many programs just, you know, are just, I don't know what the word, what the term is, but they just seem to, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, that sort of stuff. And you see the toll it's taken on a lot of the blue bloods like Kentucky and Duke. But now with the transfer portal, everybody is just on the move, it seems like. And the NCAA's got to get a handle on both of these situations, in my opinion, or they're going to ruin especially college basketball.
Did you see the call last night near the end of the Atlanta-Philly game?
Your team got hosed, George.
Completely.
I don't say that lightly.
Oh, my God. So, Terry, I want you to envision this. I'm sitting in 304 row 1 last night for the Preds game. Good buddy of mine has his phone on the Braves game. Okay? And so I see the throw, and I see it live. I'm yelling. People are looking around at me going, what the hell is he talking about? And I'm yelling, he didn't touch home plate. Well, the ESPN truck sort of picks it up, and, you know, all of a sudden, everybody sees it. And, you know, they replay it. The angle from the camera deck at first base is the one that really shows it. And Brian Snitker, and rightfully so, went berserk and essentially told the umpires to take their replay and shove it. I loved seeing that out of Snitker.
Oh, absolutely. He had every right to be upset and to do that. And my point of that is, what's the point of replay if you're going to miss an obvious call like that? And you know me, George. I don't care one way or the other about the Braves, but, you know, you got to get the call right.
Yeah. You want to check the standings real quick?
Well, I know my team is struggling a little bit, even though they finally did win yesterday.
Terry, not those standings.
Oh, you're talking about the NHL standings, aren't you?
We might be. So, Terry, I will claim that there was a playoff atmosphere last night from the minute they dropped the first puck in that game, Preds Dallas, first of all, about four fights in the first period. Secondly, in the third period, you could cut the tension with a knife. Dallas desperately needed a win in regulation. They didn't get it. The Predators desperately needed 2 points through the shootout. They got it. And so here we are up to the minute. You ready?
Yes.
Preds have 47 points. They are in the fourth and final playoff hole. The Blackhawks are at 43 points, having played one less game than the Preds. Dallas, which has played three less games than the Preds, is at 41 points, six behind. Part of the reason they really needed a win last night in regulation. And Columbus, who I am on the verge of giving you one of these election night, they're done. Columbus has played the same number of games as the Preds, and they have 38 points. And in fact, Terry, I think we're about to bury Columbus.
So you're calling the Columbus race.
I think we are. I think there are enough precincts in. Anyway, remember you heard this. The Preds play three games next week against the Blackhawks. Next Monday night here, and then I think it's Wednesday, Friday there. They need 2 out of 3 in that deal.
Absolutely. What does it look like above them in the standings? How far are they from the third place?
Forget it. Not even worth the conversation.
Wow.
Yeah. You've got Florida and Tampa and Carolina bunched really close. I've come to the conclusion the Preds don't want any part of Tampa. That bunch, they're big league.
Yeah, well, they won it last year.
Yeah.
So.
Mark McGee's going to join us after the break. The Preds, at least at the moment, have not been sellers, but they have been buyers. We'll talk to him about it in just a moment. Yes, I'm excited that baseball's back because it means great weather, it means summer, a cool beverage, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences, risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There is a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, it's simple to use. They've got great odds on all the different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same-game parlays, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WNSR to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WNSR. 21 and up, present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problems? Call TN Redline 800-889-9789.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea market.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics. Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 78. Partly cloudy tonight, low 52. Tuesday, partly sunny with a stray afternoon shower, high 70. Wednesday, partly sunny, can't rule out a shower, high 66. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Welcome back in. It was a huge victory last night against Dallas in a shootout. And today, the NHL trade deadline has come and gone, and here is what the Predators have done. They have acquired defenseman Eric Gudbranson, and I probably have butchered the name, from the Ottawa Senators, for defensive prospect Brandon Fortunato, and a 2023 seventh-round draft pick. Gudbranson is big. He's 6'5", 222, and he's 29 years old, which means he's younger than our Mark McGee, who joins us by phone. He is quite a bit younger.
Quite a bit younger, yes. And this will be his sixth team to play for since he was drafted in the first round by the Florida Panthers several years ago. He's played for Florida, Vancouver, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, Ottawa, which is his hometown, and now Nashville.
Would I be right that really the most likely predator, if there was going to be anybody that was going to be shipped out, was Matthias Ekholm?
Everybody talks about him. I think in Toronto, I think really, really want him based on the rumors going around. But I think that you got kind of a two-edged sword here. You know, there was talk, we talked and talked about rebuilding, and there may still, even with the way things are going right now, they may still be rebuilding going on in the off season. But Ekholm has been such a big force on this team during this time of plenty, as they've been winning so much. I think that trading him was less and less attractive. It had to be a huge haul, and apparently they weren't getting anything that excited David Poole enough to pull the trigger on him. And a lot of people think that if they do rebuild, Ekholm is one of the players that they'll rebuild around. So that's a situation there too. So, we thought they might be sellers, and we thought they might be light sellers, and we thought they might not do much of anything, and pretty much of anything is what they did today. Imagine the social media people had to be awakened two or three times through the day today as they tried to see what was going on, which was nothing much.
Give me some thoughts here.
It's hard to believe that Gabranson was a number three player picked in 2010. So, but he has not lived up to that type of hype through his career. So this year he's had one goal and two assists. And what, as a defenseman, this is what worries me. He's got a minus 13 plus minus rating. And his best season was 2014-15 with Florida, when he had four goals and nine assists for 13 points. It's the only time he's been double figures in points since he started his career.
Yeah, this is not Wayne Gretzky they acquired. But let me ask this question.
This is called depth. This is called depth.
Yeah. Let's be ugly here. If they had lost last night, would David Poile's philosophy have been different today?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think only David can answer that. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that one loss like that, especially as close as that game was, I think that, I don't know if that changes his opinion. I think he pretty much made his decisions to what he was going to do today, what was out there. He's been doing his due diligence. I know he's on the phone all the time during trade type situations. He knew what the market was. And now I don't know. A lot of people were kind of stingy. Taylor Hall got traded from the winger got traded from the Buffalo Sabres to the Boston Bruins. And a lot of people felt like Boston fleeced Buffalo, which is in need of rebuilding and needed players, and they really didn't get much out of that trade. So maybe there weren't that many people willing to give up a lot to get Ekholm or anybody else from that roster right now. So the market was, Poole said he thought the market was going to be quiet and soft. It wasn't earth shattering today at all. There were several trades made, but nothing. You're going to go like, wow, no, it's a big deal. So, except for Hall getting traded. So, that was late last night, I think.
Terry, say hello to Gee.
Mark, how are you?
I'm going well, Terry. How are you today?
I'm doing well, doing well. My first question is as it relates to the trade deadline and how NHL bylaws work in regards to transactions. How hard and fast is the NHL trade deadline? Because I know in baseball, there's still ways that guys pass through waivers in mid-August and find their way onto a contending team. Does hockey have anything like that, or is that the trade deadline that was today, is that hard and fast, a drop-dead date for the league?
It's pretty much a drop-dead date from what I've always gathered. Usually players don't move before the trade deadline. You don't see movement until the summer. After that, there's not a lot of most people are looking ahead to the playoffs in terms of depth and things like that, as far as getting players at the last minute. So there's usually not anything like that going on. I noticed the other day Kyle Turris, a legendary Predator, was put on waivers by Edmonton. I don't know if they picked him up or not. I don't think they did. So, most of those are made before the, right at or before the deadline. It's just pretty much a hard and fast deal.
Ryan Johansson's a guy that you had mentioned the Preds needed to get more out of, or if they were going to be sellers, he might have been a guy that would have been sent packing because he's been kind of a disappointment since he's been here. But he did have the game-winning goal last night in overtime. Do you think that that's maybe the start of something good for him, or do you think it's just, or do you think that his role is going to be reduced a little bit with all the young players who have emerged?
Well, it was the only goal scored in the shootout last night, so it was a key goal for sure. But does one goal change make? I doubt it. I just think that, I just don't think that, unless he gets extremely hot in the last 15 games or so, and it helps the Predators go deep into the playoffs, I would be really surprised if he's still around after the expansion draft.
And then one more here. Earlier in the year, one of the criticisms last year and even in the early part of this year when the Predators were struggling was that this team was simply not fast enough in certain areas, to get up and down the ice the way they had when they made that playoff Stanley Cup run in 2017. They're, guys who've gotten kind of old and slow. Now that they've been forced because of injuries to play some of these younger guys like Tolvanen and a few of the others, has that adequately solved that problem, or is it something they're still going to have to address in the offseason?
Well, these guys keep playing the way they're playing. I think it's solved the problem. They are, the forecheck is stronger. They're playing much more aggressive. They are, they're moving around the ice more. And I think you're seeing all that right now. And whether it's because these guys are young or whether they're excited about having the chance and wanting to make the most of it. But one thing that's been interesting is lots of times you give young guys a chance like this, they sometimes will freeze. These guys haven't. They've all seen how important it is. How important this chance is to shine, and they are taking advantage of it. So that's been the, I think that's been the big key, especially for this turnaround. Yeah, I think that anybody concerned about this team getting old, if these players stay, keep playing the way they're playing, and force John Hines to keep them in the lineup, that's going to make a big difference in the style of play you see the rest of the year and through the playoffs.
Mark, let me ask one last thing. Johansson has this very unique, and a lot of teams feel like it's an illegal shootout style where he comes to almost a complete stop, but not quite, and he's been unbelievably effective with it. Do you believe the league will outlaw it?
I don't know. It could happen because he's been getting a lot of criticism, especially this year for it. He's very unapologetic for it from that standpoint. So most good goalie coaches can tell you what every player is going to do in a shootout situation. They know exactly what's going to happen, what the move the player is going to make. I sat with Mitch Korn up in New York watching the Predators play the Devils on Madison Square Garden after the Islanders game was over. And Mitch called every player's move except one. So teams know that that's his style. He's not surprising anybody with his style. But it's a matter of whether or not they want to, whether they want to outlaw it or not. Is it that big a deal? I don't know. To me, it seems like it's more of a tradecraft situation. He's seen a way to take advantage of that situation, so why penalize him? From that standpoint.
Mark, appreciate it as always. Good stuff.
Well, what should we have more to talk about? It's kind of a dull day.
We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Sounds good. All right.
Mark McGee talking a little Predators at the trade deadline. They have made one move. It is not a big one, as Mark said. It is simply a depth piece. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about copycats in the world of sports. I'll explain where we're going next.
Welcome back to Love League. It's time for Jack to meet our final contestant, April Games. April is a fun-seeking Aries who loves fresh flowers, afternoon showers, and winning. April, describe your perfect night.
Well, Bob, I like to pick up some instant games, find my favorite lucky coin, and see where the night takes me.
Oh, okay. Well, Jack, who will it be?
I'm going to take April Games, Bob.
It's hard not to pick a winner when you pick April Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly. Get ready to knock down some fun with new multiplier instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Four great games that can multiply your next win into big money. Play for $1, $2, $5, or $10 for your chance to win up to $1 million in cash. Pick up a multiplier game today, and with a little luck, your cash could do some serious math. Multiplier games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
And I'm Coach Tom Hodges.
Join us Saturday mornings 9 for the shoot-around presented by Goggin Cold Hall.
It's a weekly celebration of all things round ball, from high schools to colleges to the NBA.
It opens with our starting five topics, followed by the two-man week.
The slowest fast break in radio and features the U.S. Army Legend of the Week.
The shoot-around is also brought to you by Freeman Webb, Budmore State Farm Insurance, Valentino's Restaurante, High Valley Conference, the Nashville Scene, and Sam's Sports Grill, and Sam's Sports Place.
That's the shoot-around every Saturday morning at 9.
Right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. Welcome back in at 2:46. George Plaster, Terry McCormick with you. Terry, I want to go back on the Eddie George hiring that we expect tomorrow at Tennessee State. A lot of people are saying, well, it's a copycat of the Deion Sanders deal at Jackson State. And if you really look at it in sports, you get a lot of copycat. You can remember when the deal with the Rams started to happen. When Sean, helped me with his last name all of
McVay.
A sudden. Yeah, thank you. A little senior moment there as a junior. When Sean McVay hit it big, with the Rams in year one, all of a sudden, all the league wanted to look at Rams assistants. Copycat league. When Nick Saban started to kill it at Alabama and start winning all these national titles, if you could walk and chew gum and you were an assistant at Alabama, you had a real shot to get a coaching job somewhere. If you can't get one off that staff, then you don't interview worth a damn.
Very true. And you're right. The NFL has always been a copycat league. And I think a lot of sports are that way. I think a lot of, you know, college football, you referenced the Eddie George hiring with what's going on with Deion Sanders at Jackson State. And it's just kind of the latest example. Once somebody hits on something, and while it may not be new, but it's fresh, you know what I'm saying? Like there are elements of, in the spread offense, of things that people were doing 50 or 60 years ago maybe, but they're fresh and they're new, and then all of a sudden everybody has to run the spread. One of these days, somebody's going to have success with the wishbone, and then everybody's going to go back to that. I'm convinced of it, George.
And then we'll all fall asleep of boredom.
Exactly.
But Terry, you raise a great point, because the first guy I ever saw run the spread was a guy named Watson Brown. You look at his offensive coordinator Vanderbilt teams, 81, 82, they were running elements of the spread.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it worked. You know, it took a program that had been down for a while. They went to, forgive me, I've forgotten which bowl it was, with Whit Taylor at quarterback.
The Hall of Fame Bowl.
Yes. But certainly, you know, that was very innovative and very, and you know, kind of caught on. And then nowadays you look, and I'm trying to think where the modern day spread came from. I want to say that some of it probably came from out of what Steve Spurrier was doing at Florida, and then later with what Urban Meyer did there when he had Tim Tebow. But, you know, there's football, you know, there's not a lot of different things you can do. There's only so many things you can do. And then once something lays dormant for a while and somebody picks back up on it, then it all of a sudden becomes fresh and new again.
Here's what I think is different. We both know Deion Sanders is a lot of flash and dash, right?
Yes.
Eddie's not going to be that way. Eddie's going to be a guy who goes in, you know, in the recruiting world, talks to the mom and dad, and he can be deadly serious. Listen, not that he doesn't have a sense of humor, because he does, but I've known Eddie, and you have too, for a long time. I've worked with him as a broadcaster with him. But when he gets serious, there's not a lot in common, it seems to me, between him and Deion.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, Eddie's a very determined individual. He's a man that when he puts his sights on something, he generally sets about doing everything he can to accomplish it. You know, the one thing in this that I worry about with Eddie is this, and I don't think it will affect him, but I think I need to bring it up, and I want to hear what you say about it.
Okay.
Do you think a guy that has had the success and the stature and the accomplishments of Eddie George, will there come a time when he gets tired of bus rides to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and Martin, Tennessee, and Murray, Kentucky?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that, because somebody brought that up to me yesterday at the TSU SEMO game. And I made the joke, you know, Eddie will just rent a limo. But, you know, it's a fair question, because, you know, at Ohio State, they certainly don't travel with the same budget that a Tennessee State does. They may both have state at the end of their name, but there's a huge difference in budget. Big difference. I don't know. And the fact of it is, right now, he may not know. But the one thing I'm pretty certain of with him, Terry, I'm convinced that he is comfortable enough in his own skin to admit to a group of coaches in his foxhole, I know there are things I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think he's the type of guy who will set about learning the things that he doesn't know, but until he feels comfortable with that, he'll rely on people like Jeff Fisher or Brandon Fisher, people who have coached, who have been in those types of situations. And I think he will take their advice, and I don't think he'll ignore it or discard it. I think he'll use it.
I'm very interested to see how all this is going to play out. You know, I hope that those who are really cynical about it will at least give him a chance, because I think he has earned that. I think he's earned that by being a solid citizen, a great ball player, a real asset to our community. I hope people will at least give him a fair shake as he tries to rebuild this program. We'll wrap
Absolutely.
Up. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Bart Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price, too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Ariel Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast throughout this afternoon. Mostly sunny, temperatures low 80s with a chance of passing showers. 60% chance of rain into tonight. Lows around 60, and 90% chance of showers on Saturday. Temperatures around 75. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
During the 3 o'clock hour, a couple of things will happen. Watson Brown will join us. And then, near the start of the 3 o'clock hour, a good buddy of mine and a really good hockey analyst, Stu Grimson, who now works for the NHL Network, is going to join us. I actually taped the interview on Friday, initially thought I would run it on Friday, and then thought, you know what, I may just hold this thing until Monday. Then after Watson joins us, we'll get kind of his breakdown on the Eddie George hire at TSU and ask Watson the question, okay, you know that Eddie's new to it, so put out an open letter to him and tell him what it is he needs to know that perhaps he doesn't know. Terry, that might be pretty interesting.
It might very well be.
Because my guess is Watson's been around this block a few times.
Just a few.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of what we have coming in the 3 o'clock hour. During the 4 o'clock hour, Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin likely to join us around 4:30. Georgia took 2 out of 3 from them. And not many teams have done that. And it sets up a weekend series in Knoxville against Tennessee that might be huge. Anyway, hour number one is done. Stick around. You're listening to WNSR.
WPDQ
Frankspurrow.
On air and online, sports radio, WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Andrea Fujii. Police say it was a deadly mistake. Officials say the officer who shot and killed Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota Sunday at a traffic stop meant to draw her taser, not her gun. Police Chief Tim Gannon.
This appears to me, from what I've viewed and the officer's reaction and distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Mr. Wright.
Police wanted to detain Wright after they learned there was a warrant for him for skipping a court appearance. He had been charged with carrying a gun without a permit. All this just miles away from the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin for the death of George Floyd. The judge says the jury will not be sequestered in light of the traffic stop death. Jurors hearing more testimony today from health experts. Cruise ships in a holding pattern around the Caribbean island of St. Vincent after several volcanic eruptions. Ash is everywhere and power is out. But the governor says very few want to evacuate on those ships. This is ABC News.
I absolutely love my dog, but the constant shedding, not so much. But then I got a Swiffer Sweeper pet kit, and it is amazing. These super thick cloths pick up a crazy amount of hair. Just look at all that. And that was from just one swipe. And the best part? Sweeper's so much easier to maneuver than a broom or a vacuum, easily getting around chairs and under the couch. You're right. Now I can focus on you, not your shedding. Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit. Because shed happens.
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist. Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin. That, paired with a cup of coffee, is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2, Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
George Plaster, WNSR.
Here we go.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. Welcome back to the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you into hour number two of the show, the 3 o'clock hour, and let's head up to the plateau and right off the bat say hello to Coach Watson Brown. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm great. I missed you in hour one. Did you miss me?
Absolutely. I said to myself, self, there's just a hole in this show.
Yeah, and you just stepped in it, right? It's pretty deep.
Oh, yeah. So, Watson, guess what I'm going to have you do in a little while?
Okay, let me hear it.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to run an interview that I taped on Friday with Stu Grimson about the Preds and where they're going and maybe right. Where they're not going. But then I'm going to want you around 3:20, 3:25, essentially to pen an open letter to Eddie George, basically saying, big guy, this is not my first rodeo in coaching, but it is yours, and here are the things that you need to know from Uncle Watson that there's no way you could know without sitting in that seat.
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be Uncle Watson. It'd probably be Grandpa Watson, wouldn't you think? I thought I'd say it before you did.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Keep going.
No, I'll be glad to throw in all the mistakes I made. So that will be easy.
You think we can fill up a segment?
We could fill up a day.
I love it. But seriously, I want to hear some of the things that you feel like, having been in that seat, things that maybe there's no way he could know going in, but he's about to encounter.
Well, and also I've been and coached at two of the schools in his conference here in the state of Tennessee. So I've got quite a bit of experience through what he's fixing to go through.
Should we throw out your phone number in case he needs you?
I would say that it wouldn't matter. I doubt that he would dial it, but we'll give him our thoughts.
Okay.
We'll give him our thoughts anyway.
This is coming after the Stu Grimson interview and after the break, but first, let's check in. As promised earlier, a good friend, former Predators color analyst and now a color analyst on the NHL Network, Stu Grimson, joins us by phone. Stu, let me play Confessions of a Sinner right off the bat, because I buried the Predators. I had a funeral service essentially 3 weeks to a month ago. I am as shocked as anybody at the turnaround. What has happened?
You know, and I'll share some of the liability, some of the shame with you. I was right along there singing the same tune as you were, I think I've got a dozen or so compatriots, ex-players like me, George, up at the NHL Network that were all on the same song sheet. We just never saw a reversal from the Preds like this coming. Nobody did. But it's been You know, I think really there in situations like this, it's rarely ever a single factor. And I think you could first and probably foremost point to goaltending. Juuse Saros, you know, he has proven just over the course of his career that, you know, he can be a mechanic to his own game. He can kind of fix on the fly and get himself headed in the right direction. I think Rinne as a, you know, a tutor to Saros is helpful in all that. I think those two are very good for one another. So between the two of them, you know, goaltending for me is the key ingredient on all this. Arvidsson came back. He very quickly got back to playing Arvidsson type hockey. Johansson, when he came back, I thought was far more engaged. I really liked the way Big Joey was playing. And then, you know, I think when a guy like Elli Tolvanen steps up, and, you know, for folks in the Preds organization, this won't, you know, make a lot of sense, but for the rest of us, really out of nowhere, and starts, you know, rattling off goals 3 and 4 and 5 at a clip over a 6 and 7 game pace, that starts to feed the rest of the group. There's an energy, there's a confidence that comes with that. And, you know, I think there's been a handful of performances like that out of the different skaters. And, you know, those things kind of all seem to kind of come together at the right moment and allow this group to not just get back into the discussion. They've got a pretty good lock on the number 4 spot in the Central.
So go back to UC, Stu, for just a second, because he's shown glimpses of this in the past. Is this now a long enough sample size where you can say, look, he's a number 1 goaltender in this league?
Yeah, I think you're probably there. I think the only thing that would give you pause in UC's, you know, kind of trajectory or maybe resume over the course of his NHL career, there have been these moments, and I don't know that there's really a goaltender, maybe set aside a Vasilevsky or someone like that. I don't know that there are many goaltenders that don't go through this, but, you know, we've seen patches of inconsistency. The thing that I find really fascinating, and perhaps this is what leads general manager David Poile to declaring going forward UC is the number 1 guy. He really historically has shown this this proclivity, this trend of playing stronger, playing more effective as the season wears on. His, you know, his first half splits compared to his second half splits are fairly stark. So there's great optimism in that. You can I think you can always work with an athlete, especially a younger athlete, to achieve greater consistency when you've got the kind of skill set that young Juuse does.
So, Stu, my love of baseball and pennant races has me right now playing this same game here where I'm checking every night. I think Dallas needs to beat the Blackhawks. That'll help them more, that kind of thing. Which one of these teams that's below them right now is the one they should be worried about the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. I, you know, in spite of the games at hand, Dallas has not really shown me and a lot of folks, I don't think, that this is a group that is capable of, you know, going on a 5, 6, 7 game tear here and inserting themselves back into the discussion. If I'm the Preds, I tend to be a little more fearful of the Blackhawks. I think they've matched up pretty well. The Blackhawks have with the Preds, and they too are a group. You know, they've got some game breakers. They really have. When DeBrincat is hot, when a guy like Patrick Kane, Kane tends to be probably far less streaky than a lot of high end skaters, forwards in our game. But, you know, when Kane's on his game and he's feeling it, that, you know, that can be a tandem that really, I think, challenges these Preds. And I always get kind of concerned when too, if you're the Preds and there's a, you know, there's somebody like a Lankinen who again, kind of comes out of a rather unexpected set of circumstances, surprises all expectations. And, you know, if the Blackhawks are pointing to a single important factor, it's probably Lankinen in Nets, and that could be problematic if you're a Predators fan.
NHL Network analyst Stu Grimson is on the line with us. Stu, I want to believe that you're going to be right, that the Preds are going to get in. When you lump Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay into the mix, they're going to play one of them if they get in. Who is the one they want to avoid the most? That was a nice negative question, wasn't it?
It's a loaded question, actually, because if you look at the three teams north of the Preds in the central standing, they are just that, George. They are loaded. I think Florida far surpassed just about anybody's expectations this year. Carolina, to me, you know, they continue to be one of the strongest, most consistent, most. They just seem to take a good, solid stride forward every year. And this, to me, you know, if this group went on the kind of tear, Carolina, and went deep or ultimately won it, I don't know the way the kind of regular season they have. You know, I don't think there are a lot of folks out there that would really be at all surprised by that. So based on what we've seen to this point, I'd almost rather take on the Florida Panthers or, you know, strange as this sounds, I mean, if the playoffs started tomorrow, George, I think you'd rather take on the Tampa Bay Lightning than you would the Carolina Hurricanes. But, you know, there's a good bit of hockey left to play. And, teams, especially in a pandemic year, we have seen they tend to go in more ebbs and flows. And ask me again in a week. I'll probably have a different answer for you.
I love it. Stu, 4 years ago, right about now, I had more fun in hockey than I have ever had. And you know where I'm going. When they started to make the run, I'd get to the arena earlier every night to soak up the excitement and the buzz and the energy in the building. But I don't know hockey the way you do, not even close. Were there things that you saw ahead of time that made you think that could happen? Or were you like me and it came out of nowhere?
I would say, you know, if I can, and this might sound like a bit of a cop-out, George, I mean, I felt like this was a balanced team, a strong team, a team that had a really consistent second half. They were a really tough out in the playoffs. They were playing some of their best hockey come the end of the postseason just to qualify. And, given the way they finished out the year, I was not terribly surprised to see them go on the run that they did. They were checking all the boxes. They were getting great goaltending. If you roll back the calendar, you remember there weren't many teams out there across, you know, no matter what division, what conference you're looking at, there weren't many teams out there that you could point to and said they had a deeper, a more talented defense corps than the Predators. And two, they were getting enough offense. They were scoring enough up front that they could compete with even some of these more dangerous teams. So, I wasn't entirely surprised to see them orchestrate the run they did.
Tell me this. In my basketball life, I've done games at Rupp Arena, been to Madison Square Garden, been to a lot of places that are really noisy. I contend, maybe biasly, that Bridgestone at its best is the noisiest indoor venue I've ever been in. If I'm close to right, what does that do for players?
You are close to right. I would put this Bridgestone group, both the building, the way it's built, the energy that the Preds, in-game production crew are able to kind of generate, the atmosphere that they generate. And, you got to pay off these great Predators fans too. And they really over time have come to appreciate what playoff hockey is all about. And it does. It becomes very electric inside that building. To your question, pointedly, George, it adds 10%, 15%, depending on the player, maybe more to what you do out there. When you get affirmed by the home crowd for doing something like making a big hit, making a big save, you know, blocking a shot, just the little, the small things, the under the radar things, and they're out there, they understand the importance of those plays, and they're affirming you for those plays. It flat out spurs you on to greater heights. There's nothing like it.
Last thing for you. If you had to stake your life on it, who are the last two teams standing in July?
Oh, that is a good question. That is a really good question. How about a pair of clubs that, of course, we can go kind of whatever division we want now because we reseed. There are no conferences any longer. But how about, just for alliteration's sake, how about Carolina and Colorado?
Nice. We start with C and we end with C.
Those are two teams that, you know, we've seen some pretty steady hockey over the course of this, a wee bit wonky pandemic campaign. But I'll tell you what, those are two teams that really have stood out from the rest of the field. I would not be surprised to see those two end up facing off against one another at the big show.
You were really nice to do this. I hope you'll come on again soon. I love talking to you.
George, I will drop everything anytime you ask. You know that, so don't be shy to ask.
Oh, wow. Stu, thank you so much. Stu Grimson, good friend, good man, knows his hockey. Watson, you were listening to it. What did you take out of it?
I take he thinks the Preds have got a real shot, George. The closer to the playoffs and we get more people back in that arena, we keep playing and get healthy again. Seems like the ones that get injured for us, when they come back, they play good. And so I'm hoping to get everybody healthy by playoff time. I don't think the Blackhawks are going to catch us. And I've learned in hockey, if you get in, you got as good a shot as anybody. I mean, hockey really is a sport of runs. And when you get hot, you're hot in hockey. And, I mean, you're tough. You're tough to beat. And, honestly, it doesn't matter about the regular season at that point. So I'm pretty pumped, tell you the truth. And I wouldn't count them short on anything.
Terry, I went to the game Saturday night against Tampa Bay. And I've never come out of my team losing 3-0 feeling better about what I saw. They absolutely hit Tampa Bay with a sledgehammer, and the goaltender, Vasilevsky, just stood on his head. But I got to tell you, Tampa is the team I want to avoid at all cost.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're pretty solid up and down. You know, you get any of those top three, whether it's Florida, Tampa, or Carolina, all are going to be tough. But just like Watson said, you know, you can be a low seed in hockey, and it does not seem to matter as much. If you get the goaltending play and the timely scoring, you can make a run and get hot in hockey, maybe more so than any other sport.
Preds have 13 games left in their regular season, and oh, by the way, they get Tampa again tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena at 7 o'clock. Watson, let's talk a little Jody Jones dentistry, and then after the break, you will give Eddie George a little advice.
Well, I probably could give advice from coaching Jody Jones, tell you the truth. Guys like Jody were fun to coach, George. Those kind of guys, Jody was one of those guys that whatever you ask him to do, he did. He was one of those guys that was fun to coach and made coaching not a job for me. People like Jody. He'd do whatever you said. He'd bust it all the time. He was always trying to find a way to make himself better. And so, therefore, when he jumped into the dentistry, and that's what he wanted to do, and I knew that in college, and then when he jumped into it, that's what he's been, the same type way. Just go after it full go. Don't look back. And, George, that's what he's done. I think 22 years of building this thing to what it is today, got himself to a position where he could build this building he's got or buy the building and then redo everything in it. And it's gorgeous. It is absolutely state-of-the-art. The hired help is the best. You walk in the door, you feel family, and it relaxes you. If you can relax going to a dentist, which I've never been able to do, but if you can, this place would do it to you. And so I'm just proud of him, but at the same time, doesn't surprise me in the least the success George he's had.
So with that in mind, let me give you a couple of particulars. If you would like to just simply make an appointment, you've heard us yap about it, and you say, I'm in. 615-259-5100. That's the number, 259-5100. The new location is 55 Music Square East. And if you want to learn more, you simply go on his website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham, Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Come celebrate Lowe's first annual Spring Fest and give your lawn the look it deserves with 5 bags of premium mulch for $10 or 3 19.3-ounce Bonnie vegetables and herbs for $9. Spring Fest, a festival of fun and savings for your garden and total home, in-store or online. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Offers valid through 4/21 while supplies last, in-store only. Selection varies by location, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this afternoon: sunny and temperatures near 80. Partly cloudy overnight tonight, lows low 50s. Tuesday, 30% chance of showers, mainly in the morning and midday. Mostly cloudy, temperatures low 70s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
2:26, make it 3:26. It would help if I could read the clock. Interesting that an old friend of mine, Buster Olney, came out earlier today and said that MLB needs to fess up that they blew the call at the end of the Braves game last night, the play at the plate that ultimately gave the Phillies the 7-6 win. I went absolutely berserk, and then Brian Snitker joined me after replay made the decision that the run would count. But anyway, enough of that. The 24-hour period of mourning is almost over. So, Watson, we got a coaching deal. Eddie George is going into the coaching ranks having never been a coach before, and now he's going to be the head coach at Tennessee State. So what would be the first piece of advice that you would be giving the former Heisman Trophy winner?
Well, I personally congratulate him, and I can remember my first one. Lord, I was 28. I'd been in the business 5 years, but I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, you just go in and let it go and be yourself. That's to me, be yourself, but take the philosophies. He may not have coached George, but he's been coached by a lot of different people. And just take the philosophies of the different coaches of what he liked, didn't like, and put that together, but put it to his personality and don't try to be somebody else. And don't be afraid to get ideas from different people. I think Coach Fisher will be a big help to him behind the scenes, and I think he's going to need that. That generally is the first thing I'd say. But he's got to start right out the gate to me, George, and put together a really strong staff and bring in a much better player than is there right now. The TSU talent level isn't what I've seen it through the past years, and he's got to do that very quickly. And I would start, if I was him, right in Nashville, Tennessee, and the state of Tennessee. I would dominate Nashville, and I would dominate the state. I'd be number one in those two and not let any of these other OVC or Southern Conference people beat me on those kids. And then I would spread out to the Floridas, Alabama, Georgia, and have different coaches in every one of those states and get my share of those guys. I'd have another coach in charge of looking for the end of the transfer portal. I'd have one guy really looking at that and watching that closely and studying it. And when he sees a kid that might have interest, really investigate it. There's ways he can do it. He just needs good people, George, around him, and use Eddie George's personality. He has a very strong personality. Use that and use his name. He can walk in any house in the state of Tennessee and is well known at the time he gets there, and he can also do that in these other states that I mentioned. And he can go to Ohio. He could go back into Ohio and get some kids there. When I was at Tech, we got a lot of players from the Cincinnati area because I had been there and I was known. I was well known. Eddie George is well known back up in there. So I think he's got a great shot if he'll just put a lot of this stuff together.
Okay, you've put a lot in there. There's a big mouthful there that you've just thrown out. And, Terry, feel free to get in the middle of this. So, Watson, you know that because of some friendship here with Jeff Fisher, I know who some of these coaches are that Jeff has helped him put together, and it's going to be an elite staff. I met one of them yesterday, and in fairness, I'm going to let Eddie do his own thing at the press conference because that's only right. But how much should he try to pick the brains of some coaches on his staff who have previous head coaching experience at a really high level?
Well, he absolutely should listen to all of them, but not do anything that he doesn't want to do. There's one guy in charge, there has to be. There's got to be one chief, and he needs to be that. But absolutely listen to everybody. And I would let his coordinators really run that their side of the ball. I would, and including the special teams coordinator. If and when those guys, when he puts them together and who they are, I would let them do that. Eddie can take care of so many other pieces. Stay on top of it, know what they're doing. Give him a philosophy of what he wants to do, but then let him go. I would most definitely do that if I was him, and I dang sure would rely on Jeff to help me here in my early years.
Terry, chime in on this.
Yeah, Watson, I think
you're exactly right in that Eddie, with no coaching experience to rely on and draw on for himself, he's got to have an experienced staff around him, not only at the coordinator level, but at the position coach level, because, you know, Eddie's never known what it's like to coach a wide receiver or a defensive tackle and those sorts of things. So I think that those things are very, very important. Here's one thing I'll throw at you on this front. Eddie George has always been a guy who's been an absolute star. He was the Heisman Trophy winner at Ohio State, led the Titans to a Super Bowl. He's always been a top-notch performer when he's played the game. Now, the old adage says that, you know, if you use the baseball adage, that backup catchers and utility infielders and all make the best managers a lot of times because they had to study the game. They have to know the game a lot more than a superstar does. How is Eddie George going to be able to relate to, you know, backup safeties that have to go in the game that are not nearly maybe as talented as the type of player he was when he was a player?
You know, I think he's done that his whole career, Terry, because he's been the star, but he's been on a lot of teams with a lot of journeymen that he plays with. And he would understand that and know how important those kind of guys are. And as popular as Eddie George has been throughout his career, I know how popular he was with the Titans. I'd say he's already been doing that. And that's going to be easy for him because he knows. The star is the star, and they got to make plays when the time comes, and the head, and they're going to get the heat when something's good, and they're going to get the praise when it is good. And he's tasted all that before. He's going to have that as a coach in a different way, but it's the same thing. So I think that'll be a plus for him, Terry. And the other thing you mentioned to me, I'd never coached a defensive lineman before. I'd never coached a linebacker before when I became a head coach. I'd coached a secondary a little bit. I'd never coached an offensive lineman before. That's really the way it is in our business. There's going to be a lot of things that you haven't done yourself, and that's why you have to hire good people in all the spots. And if you miss one out of nine in a full-time coach or eight, whatever they'll have on the FCS level, then it hurts you. So him bringing in the right people as they walk in the door is very important, and everything I'm hearing on paper that looks good. Now they got to fit in. They got to fit into everything on like the FCS ball from NFL to FCS. You got to fit in on the OVC and learn it real quick and what it's all about understand how important those classics that they play are. Those are very important to TSU and as they are to Jackson State or any of those people. Those are important football games, and I just think he's smart enough he'll do that and just make sure he keeps good people around him. But a lot of the things you just mentioned, I think, will be easy for him.
And then the other thing, too, George and I talked about this in the 2 o'clock hour a little bit, in terms of getting used to life in the OVC, it kind of is like the major league player who goes and becomes a manager or a coach in the minor leagues. You got to get used to bus rides. You got to get used to long hours and things like that. How much of an adjustment is that as a coach going from, you know, what you're accustomed to? And I'm not saying that Eddie's not used to putting in hard work, because he put in hard work as a player. He's put in hard work in the other endeavors that he's been in. But, you know, when you're riding 3 hours to Murray, Kentucky on a bus ride, you know, there's a little bit of an adjustment there if you're not used to it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I can vouch for that one now. Those 6 and 7 hour trips I'd take on those buses. I remember at Tech we bused, I think, 13 hours to Arkansas. That is different. I can remember first when I went to Austin Peay, it wasn't, because I'd been at Jacksonville State. And I had been at East Carolina. I'd only been 1 year at Texas Tech. So I was around that style then, Terry. That's what we did. At East Carolina, we'd bus all the way to Boone, North Carolina to play, or we'd go up to Furman to play those guys in South Carolina, and we're always on buses. So it wasn't so bad at then. But when I came back after years and years of coaching and being a head coach at Rice, Cincinnati, Vanderbilt, UAB, that was – That was an adjustment, but he'll make that adjustment.
And then finally, you know, you talked about Jeff Fisher is going to be an advisor and a sounding board, and that's great for him. You know, Eddie George obviously has bundles of connections in terms of who he can put on a staff. How do you go about, you know, because he's got lots and lots of friendships, how do you go about sorting through and knowing who's a good fit, who's not a good fit, in terms of separating your coaching allies from your personal friends?
That was the hardest thing I thought I had to do, looking back. And some of the mistakes that I made, and I should not want to mention any, but generally some of the mistakes I made were friendship mistakes. And that absolutely is a no-brainer. You just cannot go there, but it's so easy to do. You feel so comfortable with those guys. And but yet they might not just fit what you need, Terry. That's a great thing to me. And he needs to watch that very, very closely. And it is really hard, really hard to tell a good friend, no, I've got to go a different direction. But he needs to do that if he needs to go a different direction. And he just doesn't try your best not to let the friendship be the reason that you hired the guy. Boy, that's hard.
Terry,
I made some mistakes with that.
Terry, do you want to role play this?
Sure.
Watson.
Sir.
I would like to have a job on your staff. What do you think?
Oh, boy. Oh, and being a good friend and whatever. It's George, it's hard. That is the hardest thing, and I promise you, he is going to get bombarded with that.
Yeah, but I was looking for the real answer.
The real answer is for you?
Yes.
Absolutely, the real answer, Watson, you're nuts, yeah, man.
Here's the real answer.
You're nuts.
George, how much experience do you have at shining helmets and shoulder pads?
Probably more of that now than you think, but coaching, none.
Apparently not enough. I don't know. I call really good screen passes on 3rd and 27.
Hey, Terry, all I ever heard for 40 years from George, run the screen. When in doubt, run the screen. I talked to him after a game. You didn't run enough screen.
Okay.
His nickname ought to be George Screen Pastor.
So,
you can't deny that one, George.
No, you got that right.
You are a screen deluxe.
Yes, we're going to run 5 of them a game, come hell or high water.
Ran 4 this week.
When we come back, Watson's job isn't finished. More advice for Eddie George about media obligations and fundraising and fanraising, which Tennessee State desperately needs. We'll talk more with Watson next.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game-changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy conforme. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du Vientu.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's pays health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture a DQ Chicken and Biscuits basket. All white meat chicken strips nestled next to crispy golden fries. And seven mini biscuits. Fluffy, flaky mini biscuits that you can dunk in a side of warm pepper gravy. Then you leave the drive-thru and your favorite song comes on the radio. And all the streetlights turn green. This mini win calls for a mini celebration with the DQ Chicken and Biscuits basket. Or get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy tastes good.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.345 it is. Word out of New England. Sure looks like Julian Edelman may be calling it a day. And, Terry, if he retires, that is one darn good receiver that the Patriots are losing.
Yes, for sure. I mean, that guy has been, you know, a rock. He was Tom Brady's go-to guy, you know, especially after Gronk retired. He became Brady's go-to guy for that last year up in New England. And, you know, to see him have to give it up, that's a big blow for them.
So let's get back to the conversation, Watson, about Eddie George, who we all believe tomorrow will become officially the new football coach at Tennessee State University. And certainly he's used to dealing with media, but has never dealt with the obligations while trying to mix in, you know, game plans and all that kind of stuff. He has a mentor who I think in Jeff Fisher is the best I've ever seen at it as far as knowing media obligations and when to do them and when not to do them. Give me a few rules of thumb that Eddie needs to think about.
Well, it starts with where he is. He's in a city, and you have got to find a way to turn the city on. That is very important, George. I was in four of them as a head coach, Cincinnati, Houston, Nashville, Birmingham. And when you're in four cities, You got to own the city and try. And he needs to jump right in the middle of Vanderbilt and try to take over the city. And so he needs to be out, use his name, and put his name to TSU now. But he's going as Eddie George and have TSU on his chest. And so he's got to be out, and he's got to hire good coaches, let them do that. But turn the city on and start grabbing some of those fans to come and watch them play. And the media is a big part of that. And when you take on the Preds and the Sounds and whatever, the Titans, of course, and when you take all that on, you got to jump right in there and not be afraid to do that. And proud to be who you are, and do not turn any of the media down. Talk to them. Bring them to your campus. Do things with the media. Don't run from the media, and don't take the media on. That's two things to me that you're not going to win if you do that. And I think he can do those because honestly, fundraising is going to become such a big part, George, because facility, they've got to go and fix everything now at TSU, and they need to get back to campus. I've heard that's what Eddie wants, and fix the place up. Have a classy place to play. So they've got some things that are good there in facility, but they got a lot of work to do, and they need money. Just like all these Tennessee OVC schools, they need money in a desperate way. And Eddie going out, I think that's one of the reasons he's been hired, is they feel like he can go out and do those type things.
Watson, you know that I attended the game yesterday over at Tennessee State, and no question that Hale Stadium needs work. But on the flip side, 18,000 seat facility that with a little bit of work could be a pretty darn good stadium in that league.
Oh, I'd stay right there. I think it's a little gold mine to fix up. It's in a pretty little area. It's right down from their indoor facility. You drive in through the different ways to get there. That's got TSU everywhere. George, I think that can be fixed. I'd say somewhere around $20 million, you could have an unbelievable place there. And I would think that's what Eddie is going to jump in and long-term want to do. But TSU has a proud history, George, very proud history. And they'll play in front of 60,000 people at a lot of those classics they play in. But when they jump into OVC play, they need to be right there. They don't need to be in Titan Stadium. They need to be in their own place and fix that thing and really be proud of it.
And I'm guessing that tomorrow, Watson, that's going to be one of the things that he's going to get out there, whether it's because he's asked it or because he feels strongly about it. That's going to come out tomorrow.
I would think so. I would think it's both, George. I would say they talked to him about what do you think, and they hit on the right things together. I would be shocked if he doesn't talk about some of the things we're talking about right now tomorrow.
Okay, give me a thought here. To me, Tennessee State football is a sleeping giant fan base-wise, that there's a fan base out there in pretty good numbers that if you can tap into it and get it excited, there's something really there. What do you think?
Absolutely. Just take the four schools in the state, Austin Peay, that they play. Tennessee Tech, UT Martin, and them. They have by far the history and the deepest tradition of fan base, and having the city to get their fan base from. And then their alums, their proud alums that back through all the way back to the Jefferson Street Joes and the Two Talls and the My Gracious and all these schools. Austin Peay has those guys. Tennessee Tech has those guys. But having the city of Nashville, George, at your taking right there, to me, is we've talked about that with Vanderbilt. TSU's no different. I'd jump right in there, and I think they can beat them on some of those type things and get – they can get that TSU fan back, and they can get, if they put good football out there with Eddie George, his name on it, They can get a lot of the football fans to come and watch their games. So I think they could get back 10,000-15,000 back in that place again.
Watson, here's one thing I'll guarantee you he got told yesterday. He was not in town, but Tennessee State had, I believe, three different kicks blocked in the first half, one of which was caught without a bounce by a SEMO defender who walked into the end zone for a touchdown. Those are little things that, if you don't do them right, will absolutely make you look like a fool.
And that's what he has to do. He has to be in charge and oversee and make sure philosophically that he's getting what he wants with his coaches and make sure they're carrying out the way he wants it carried out, meaning the way they teach, the way they talk to the different to the kids. All of that needs to come from Eddie, but he's got to let those coaches coach. He's not going to be – he doesn't need to be the one out there on the field all the time doing that. But he dang sure needs to be the overseer. He needs to be more like my brother than the way I was. I was much more hands-on, just that's just me. And if I made some mistakes, that might have been some of them. Now, you know, George, I was out in Nashville when I was here, and I was very good about doing all that stuff.
Yep.
But my brother is a little bit more of what I'm talking about, I think, Eddie needs to be.
Okay, we will wrap up this 3 o'clock hour. When we come back, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times, during hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly, wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful, adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes, too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
Five states.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this afternoon. Sunny and temperatures near 80. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows low 50s. Tuesday, 30% chance of showers, mainly in the morning and midday. Mostly cloudy, temperatures low 70s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, got a little more than a minute left in the 3 o'clock hour. Terry.
Yes.
Oh, Terry, I want you to pay very close attention tonight to the NHL Network.
Okay.
Blackhawks. At Columbus, that would be a big game for the old Predators.
Yes, it would. So we're pulling for the Blue Jackets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who we are, by the way, about to bury. As I said earlier, Columbus has played the same number of games as Nashville. They've both played 43, so they've got 13 games left. And Columbus at the moment is 9 points back of the Preds. Which, if in baseball terms, would be a 4.5 game lead with 13 left.
Yeah, that's pretty desperate.
Yeah. So Columbus needs to win tonight, not only for their life, but also to help the Preds.
All right.
You got that?
Go Jackets.
Who have your Yankees got tonight?
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Good luck to the team in Canada.
Yes. Yes, I know that's how you feel.
Oh, it is absolutely how I feel. Terry, I will talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.
Watson, as for you, you will be staying around.
I'll be hanging with you, buddy.
And we'll explain to people what's going on and why I'll be involved in a 4 o'clock hour. It's coming up next on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
WPDQ Transfer.
On air and online, Sports Radio WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Andrea Fujii. At the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and the death of George Floyd, witnesses today included Philonis Floyd, George's brother.
He was so much of a leader to us in the household. He would always make sure that we had our clothes for school. He made sure that we all were going to be to school on time.
In nearby Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, the police chief says he believes the officer who shot 20-year-old Dante Wright, a black man, intended to use a taser, not a handgun. The mayor of Brooklyn Center says President Biden has offered his support. Wright was fatally shot during a traffic stop. An investigation is underway. Harvey Weinstein, already serving more than a 20-year sentence in New York for rape and sex assault, indicted today during a video court appearance on charges for similar crimes in L.A., his attorney challenging extradition on a technicality. This is ABC News.
What's in store this week at Staples?
A big deal on ink. That's kind of a big deal.
Staples has the technology, furniture, and supplies you need for a totally productive workspace.
And right now, you can earn 40% back in Staples rewards when you purchase any two ink or toner cartridges.
Shop in store or get same day delivery powered by Instacart.
Ends 4/17/21. Limit 4 in store and on Instacart only. Visit staplesconnect.com/ink rewards for details. Instacart delivery subject to availability. Additional fees may apply.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24 sanitizing spray. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially, including the virus that causes COVID-19. Once dry, Microban 24 sanitizing spray is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
With the weather getting warmer, I think about golf, even though my golf game isn't that great, and I want to throw an option out there that you may not have thought of in a while. Riverside Golf Links at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. With new ownership, the golf course has improved dramatically. The greens look awesome. There are 27 holes, 9 of which are an executive course for beginners and juniors. So the other 18 holes have great bunkers. It's fun. It's relaxing. The pace of play will allow you to get 18 holes in 4 hours or less. So let me give you a couple of other particulars. A brand new grill, a stocked pro shop, and improved practice facilities. Great fun, great way to entertain yourself. Dial them up for a tee time, 847-5074, or go online, riversidegolflinks.com.
George Plaster, WNSR.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. Welcome back to the George Plaster Show. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
So it's a 4 o'clock hour, and the truth of it is, I have not done a 4 o'clock hour in how long? 2016, to be exact. That would be the answer. So you're saying, okay, what's happened here? Johnny Ballpark Franks has left WNSR, and we wish him the very best of luck in whatever future endeavors, whatever roads he may go down. Johnny's been a good friend for a lot of years, was once a terrific sports information director, growing, you know, when he was young. Like all of us over at Tennessee State. Anyway, we wish Johnny the very best of luck. I will probably sit in this 4 o'clock seat for a few weeks, and I hope that some of you will join me and that we find a few of you out there that want to yap some sports. I'll also say this, you know what? Let's go ahead and open up some phone lines if you want at 844-5600. Again, 844-5600 is the number. And if you want to get in, if you got something on your mind, I want to hear from you. Watson Brown is alongside. And Watson, I have a stat of the day for you.
Oh, boy, let's roll.
Oh, yeah. I'm dying to see how you do with this.
You know how I'm going to do.
How are you going to do?
How do I usually do? Not very good.
Normally, what you do is you mask it by ripping me and my question.
I got to do something.
Yeah. How many multiple winners of the Masters are there? How many people have won more than one?
10.
Really? You sure about that?
Nope.
I didn't think you were. I did not think you were. 17.
Ooh. Well, that's high.
How about that?
Tells you that once they figure it out, they can do it again, huh?
Okay. Who's won the most?
It's either Jack or Tiger. I'd say it's Tiger.
Jack, he's won 6. Tiger has won 5. Who would be next? Who would be third by himself?
Nick Faldo.
But he's in that next group. Both of them are in the next group. You want me to rattle them off real quick?
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer has 4. The last one coming in 1964. Then this is one I don't know much about, Watson. Jimmy Demerit?
Demerit.
Demerit. Okay. I've gotten some demerits. Most of them at BGA.
I'm pretty sure about that.
The group that's won 3, Jimmy Demerit, Nick Faldo, Phil Mickelson, Gary Player, Sam Snead. The group that has won 2... Joe Mary Olathabal, formerly known in these parts as Jose Maria.
Yep.
Seve Ballesteros, Ben Crenshaw, Bernard Langer, Tom and Bubba Watson, not related, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and for the record, last week I played on the day that I got off at Harpeth Hills, and while it may be one man's trash, for me, it was pretty damn good.
Not good enough to win the Masters, though.
Oh, it's not even good enough to win at Harpeth Hills.
How about McCabe? Could you win at McCabe?
Well, you know what my next one is?
What's that?
I'm going out to Riverside.
Good.
Let's both of us do that.
I'm going. I'm going with you, and I'm excited about that.
Beautiful course and getting better all the time.
Man, and they're really doing things with that course, George. They really are.
Okay, you want to take a few phone calls?
Let's go.
I think we're going to be joined by Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin at the bottom of the hour. We'll kind of play that one by ear. Tony in Nolensville, you are my first 4 o'clock phone call in 5 years.
I love to be the leadoff man, George. You know that. And, it's a pleasure talking to you at 4 o'clock. I've always enjoyed talking to Ballpark, and good luck to Johnny and his new endeavors, whatever they're going to be. And just, we'll miss him, but I think he'll still land on his feet, whatever he's doing. I think it'll be good.
Absolutely.
I was going to give a shout out to Terry, but of course I give one to Watson here as well.
Yeah, but Tony, do this. Fire a cheap shot at him. What the hell? He's not here.
Well, I've got a good one. I can't believe when he was naming off the multiple master champions that he was stumbling over Arnold Palmer.
I know.
How did you not name him? He finally got around to it. I'm like, and I'm sitting at the house screaming, saying, Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
So. But he did end up answering 10 or 11 of them, and that was good. I thought that was pretty good. I didn't know them all, but I had about 10 of them answered.
Did you know Demerit?
I did not. I did not. And the foreign players, Seve and all them, I wasn't even thinking of them. But the old-timers, yes, when I say the old-timers, the pioneers. And then who laid the groundwork for all of us many, many years ago. And then, of course, everybody who's current now. But that was a good question. And George.
Whoa, Tony, hold on a second.
Sure.
Whoa. Watson, did you hear that?
No, I when that illustrious mind of yours pick up on?
He said that was a great question.
Oh, jeez. I go right past that when they do that.
Let's bring it back a little bit. He said good question.
Did he?
Don't okay. You know.
So it would have had to have risen to get to great.
Exactly.
Okay. Either well, way, it was merited, and it went with good warranties.
What's up?
Oh, it's up. Guys, I tell you what, George, something I mentioned on Ballpark Show last week, and I'll mention it to you now. And, you know, sometimes, George, you have to be humble to be put back on the ground. And this past weekend, the Vandy boys were humbled by Georgia in a big way. And I had mentioned the Ballpark last week that Georgia happened to be the last team that we lost a weekend series to, and that was in 2019. But
wow.
Do y'all know when the last time we lost a home weekend SEC series?
No.
No, tell us.
This may be stat
of the day.
The last regular season loss that we took, the Vandy boys loss, was in 2018. And that year we lost to South Carolina. And that was in the regular season. And, George, if you remember, we came back and recovered in the later part of the year, beat Clemson at Clemson, hosted Mississippi State, which we thought we were not going to be hosting. We ended up hosting a super regional against Mississippi State, which was unbelievable. And they beat us in extra innings in the third game. And we split that in the postseason.
Listen, I went to all three of those games. You talk about drama, man.
Absolutely. You and I talked about, was that when we had the rain delay and we had a good conversation? Yeah, that was some good stuff.
Good stuff.
I mean, it was. George, one other thing, and Watson, this is good for you. On the 2 o'clock hour, Watson, George brought up a lot of stuff about these schools down, these portals. These portals have gotten so full with all these players transferring, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There's got to be something done, George and Watson, and I know who's over there, Zach. I know he's chiming in a little bit. But there's got to be something done with the schools that put so much time and effort into recruiting a player, and they recruit him in high school as maybe even sophomore year, but junior year, his senior year, and all the material and all the money that goes into recruiting a player, and he comes to a university, and after a year or two, he's like, this ain't for me. I think I'm going to leave and go somewhere else. And it's happening too often everywhere. And this, look, George, I think you mentioned it, this portal has turned into a NCAA free agent.
Oh, it absolutely has. Tony, I'm going to let you hear this off air. We're going to talk about it.
George, hey, and love you. I'm glad I'm the kickoff man for the 4 o'clock show on you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me also do this, okay? I want to take a few phone calls. If you're out there listening, if you're riding around, you got something on your mind, I got a line open right now. 844-5600 is our number. If you'll get in, we'll get to you pretty quickly. Watson, I said this today at a civic club that I spoke to. I had a head coach on the Division I level tell me that what really is going on now is that you are constantly recruiting the players that are already on your squad because of the threat of this. And what he told me was, you don't know how far you can get on them, because if you get in one of them's face and say, look, this is not the right way to do this, here's the right way to do it, by 4:30, that kid may be looking at the transfer portal going, screw you, you have no right to ever challenge me.
George, I am so against this portal, I can't tell you. Now, you know I'm always a traditionalist, and you know that through anything we talk about, I seem to hang with history. And to me, the transfer portal ought to be, if you opened it up, it ought to be when the coach leaves. If a coach leaves, and it can hurt a program bad by doing that. But if that coach recruited all those kids, they have the right to take off. But other than that, I think they ought to have to sit a year unless there is some waiver from something personal that they can prove and a committee does that. I just don't like this. I think it's an easy way out. It's what ends up happening to the kid. They never have to take on a challenge because they run from the challenge too many times in doing it this way. That's my personal opinion with it. What that coach told you is absolutely right. That's not the way to coach kids. You need to coach them and be tough with them and strong with them and listen to them and all of those things, but you shouldn't be giving in because you're worried about you might lose them on something, and that's just not a good way to go.
Jeff in Murfreesboro, welcome in at 417.
How's it going, George?
Doing good. Hope you are.
I'm doing good. George, I didn't listen much to you first there. Would you get on Rob Manfred today yet? Have you jumped all over him yet?
Wait a minute. Are you talking about the call at the end of the Braves game?
Yeah, did you jump all over him or the umpires?
Well, it's – I mean
– Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, my opinion is that it was clear-cut – that the Philadelphia player missed home plate. And, Jeff, I'll tell you that I thought it live as I watched it from Section 304 of the Preds game. And for the life of me, when they go to the replay booth, I don't know what it is they saw that said safe. I really don't.
But they did go to replay, correct?
They did.
Okay, and the decision was made. So when the decision is made, you move on. You don't. Snitcher does not need to go out to the umpire. Because the minute he does that, he should be tossed.
Well, okay, and that is normally the rule. And the fact that they didn't tells me that they knew they blew it.
Well, I mean, that's they might have known. I don't know. They might have known it, but it's like announcers say all the time that the officials use replay as a crutch because they know if they miss a call, you can go to a monitor headset. Is what it amounts to. So, I mean, and replay takes too long anyway. They need to have a time limit of 2 minutes or whatever it is. We don't need to wait 15 minutes to worry about something at all. I mean, what game number was that last night they played, George?
Yeah, it's number, I don't know, 7 or 8.
And how many did they play in the season?
162.
So it's going to all balance out in the end. So I wouldn't even concern myself. It's going to all balance out in the end at the 162 mark.
Unless the Phillies win by one.
Well, if they do, that's the way it goes. But I did want to say too, George, it's a pretty interesting weekend in SEC baseball too. I know Tennessee and Vanderbilt's got a big series in Knoxville this weekend. But did you see the Alabama softball coach got tossed this weekend? They played Arkansas this weekend.
No, I didn't. Tell me what it was about.
But he got tossed. He went out early in the game was arguing some call. Then he went to the umpires. I guess he was arguing balls and strikes. I guess that umpire didn't want to hear it no more, and so he kicked him out, kicked out the softball coach out. So he went and got his backpack and my dugout and started walking up the stand there through the stadium. Started walking up the stand, showed him on the camera. He started walking up the stand, walking out the stadium, you know, and everything. So and everything like that. But the first time I'd ever seen a softball coach get kicked out and everything. And also, George, TSU is still denying that they're going to hire Eddie George. So I don't know what's going on over there. I guess they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do, but what I heard, they're going to introduce him tomorrow. So
yeah, 10 o'clock tomorrow, I think the denying will stop.
Yeah, you know, but they have let Rod Reed go. That's the biggest news of the day, as you know. But now just it'll all work out in the end and replay. You know, I don't like replay. It's a part of sports now, though. I don't really like it per se, because 30 and 40 years ago, George, we didn't care about getting everything right like we do now.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
But Watson, I do agree with him on the time thing. I think we need to come to a certain amount of time, and if you can't figure it out by then, you know, then we got to move on.
Yeah, I agree. And George, I just don't think when that umpire's got his nose right down there, and I watched the play too, and it didn't look like he touched the plate, but when it's that close, if they'd have called it the other way, they'd have let it be. They're not going to mess with that because they're going to say He crossed the plate before he got tagged. Now, did he touch the plate or not? And they're saying, well, he's got a much closer view than we do to it. That's why I think
Brian Snitker and I
turn that either way.
Yeah, Brian Snitker and I don't agree.
What'd you say?
I said Brian Snitker and I do not agree.
I'm not saying he was right or wrong. I don't know. But I'm saying they're not going to do that in any game, I think. On that kind of call, they're not going to overturn it. They're just not going to do it.
Buckeye Dan, you are next on WNSR.
Good afternoon, George. Doing a little overtime, huh?
Why not? What the heck?
There you go. Nice day. What the heck?
Yeah.
Somebody that played here in Nashville supposedly is looking to sign with my Browns, and oh, am I hoping they don't do it. Because in my opinion, Jadeveon Clowney has never earned a single one of his NFL paychecks.
You know, that's it's an interesting thing, Dan, because he's had a weird career. There are times you see him where he's unbelievably disruptive to an offense. But, Watson, it is kind of a strange career that he has had.
It really is. It really is. And he's been a Pro Bowler three times. I get that. But, George, he just lived up to the number one pick in the draft, in my opinion.
Go ahead, Dan.
He was a three-time Pro Bowler? Are you kidding? For what?
Yeah. I know.
I don't see the production.
I'm pretty sure about
brittle. He gets injured a lot. He takes plays off. Reminds me of Howard Haynesworth a little bit, to be quite honest in that regard. I'm hoping and praying the Browns don't sign him.
Dan, tell me this. Dan, tell me this before we go. Has ever a player profited more from one play in college?
The bowl game against Michigan.
Oh, my God. I mean, think about it. When you think about Jadeveon Clowney, that is the poster child play of his career.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. He hasn't even sniffed that since. I mean, that's a hard, legend to live up to. I mean, somebody's going to expect that every play or something. But just consistent production, and I haven't seen it in the NFL. Boy, do I hope that Andrew Berry and the Browns don't sign him. Anyway, I'll let you go. Have a good day, George.
It's interesting because the rumor is that Cleveland is sort of the leader, if there even is a clubhouse in this thing.
Yeah, they may have him signed by tomorrow, the last thing I read, George, that it may be a done deal and that he may be signing early this week. I've got a stat of the day for you.
Okay.
How many quarterbacks that were drafted in the top five from 2014 to 2018, there are 14 of them. How many of them are still with the same team?
Three.
One.
Really? Who is it?
One. Who is it? Geez, I can't even think right now who it is.
Did you get this question from somebody in Arkansas?
No, I did not. What I'm getting at, though, is I'll try to think who the one is right now. It's, who is it?
Aren't you supposed to know the answer when you bring it up?
Typically.
I am supposed to know the answer. I read this afternoon. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, I read it during the 2 o'clock hour.
So you've been taking all these cheap shots at me, and yet when the time came, and by the way, don't think by the end of the show that we may not review your gifts to the people.
Oh, I knew that was coming up. I knew. How long? Well, I'm surprised you waited this long. But my point to get away from gifts to
to just move away from it.
Just move away from that. One out of 14 is still with the same team, George. That tells you that all his top five picks, and maybe Clowney being one of those top five picks was number one. Maybe that's these teams have not done a great job with these early picks. But would you have thought that?
No.
13 of the 14 are gone.
Wow.
Now, Andrew Luck quit. He was one of those, and he just quit playing. But I'm trying to think in 14 to 18. You can't do it much past that. Who is the guy? Somebody, maybe a caller will tell me.
Check in with our friend in Arkansas.
We'll get up again. Huh?
Check in with our friend in Arkansas.
Friend in Arkansas. Yeah. He ought to know. He can look it up.
That'll be our best bet.
I think you're right.
We'll go to the break at 4:25, and we're back with more on WNSR.
Good afternoon. Building out of downtown here on the South Loop, the West Loop. The fire department's been dispatched to a crash with injuries at Dickerson Pike at Spring Street. Nolensville Pike there at 440 going outbound. We saw that wreck a few minutes ago. Over in Hermitage, it's still tied up at Chandler Road at Tulip Grove. That one actually had injuries as well. Hey, True Friends Moving Company is now hiring. Call 240-2811 or simply go online to truefriendsmovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this afternoon. Sunny and temperatures near 80. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows low 50s. Tuesday, 30% chance of showers, mainly in the morning and midday. Mostly cloudy, temperatures low 70s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.429 is the time as we welcome all of you back. Because I knew Johnny Ballpark Franks had a weekly visit with Tim Corbin, since I've been back on Nashville radio, I have not asked him to come on a show. That's probably been the nicest thing that's happened to him. But know, before I bring him up, how much respect I have for this guy. I've used the term miracle worker. I've used a lot of terms to say this man and what he has accomplished at that school is incredible. So with that in mind, let's say hello to Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, George. It's good to hear your voice. Really great to hear your voice.
It's the same on this end to hear you. Now, have you and Watson Brown ever dealt with each other? Because he's the other one that's going to talk to you.
No, I don't. You know, I've heard so much about Watson, but no, we've never spoken to one another. So this is great.
Watson, say hello to Tim Corbin.
Tim, man, I can't tell you how much respect and how proud I am, and being a old Vanderbilt player, baseball and football, and coach there, and what you've done for the city and Vanderbilt. It's just unbelievable, and I'm just so proud of you and thankful for all that you've done for us.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Watson. I'm a big fan of yours as well and your whole family. And I think every time Maggie and I travel to East Tennessee and go through Cookeville, I start thinking about you. We do, because I knew you came from there. And I know that you too were a former baseball player. You played everything, for God's sake. You were good at everything besides being a coach. So, yeah, I appreciate your words and certainly a big fan of you and your work and your family.
Well, that's nice of you. George, you going to start with him?
Yeah. Tim, let me ask you, obviously this was not your most favorite weekend since you've been in coaching, but I'm curious, when you have a weekend where it doesn't go your way, are you just as hard about it as you were when you first got in this business?
I think yes and no. I say no because I was a little bit distorted in my thoughts about how your team should play on a day-to-day basis. And I think, you know, from being involved in baseball, you recognize that you just can't play at a high level the entire year. It's just, it will not happen. There's too many games. There's too many scenarios, certainly this year, where there's a lot of health and weirdness around you. It's tough to stay consistent. But I think the area that I'm just as consistent is really how to take what you've done and then what you do from it moving forward. I think it's easier for me to move forward now than it was years ago, but same time, the depth of how the losses feel are about the same. It's just that they're handled probably more appropriately than they were years ago, I would guess. And I think the telltale there would be Maggie. You know, she'd probably say, well, yeah, he's changed a bit, but he was going to have to change a bit if we still were going to have a relationship. So I think that part's changed.
Tell me this. Was there a coach that you watched at a younger age that you tried to emulate as far as keeping the high of highs from getting out of hand, but also the low of lows?
Yeah, I've always looked at Coach Belichick that way. I've always looked at Bill as a guy that is even regardless of what the Patriots did. I think he's, you know, when they win, it's on to Buffalo. If they lose, it's on to Buffalo. You know, it's like very even mentality towards his team, towards the highs and lows. And I thought he always looked at it in a very businesslike manner. It's like, okay, how can we grow from what we just got done doing? And I think he's, you know, from afar, he's had an impact on me because I've just looked at how he's handled things and I listen to him after they get done with games. And I just feel like that steadiness is really what you need for your team all the time, because you got to give them the face they need, regardless of whether it's a win and now you try to center them back in on moving forward, or if it's a loss where, you know, a lot of times young kids, when they lose, it's they move on quickly right after the game, but at the same time, they can lose their confidence quick too. And I think it's just a matter of just neutralizing them and staying consistent with an attitude towards getting the team better.
So you think players on the college level sense it when the coach keeps that even keel?
Oh, I think it's more about creating an even environment. You know, it's just if you're the voice box of the group, then they're looking at you to see how you're going to manage this one, you know, this loss or this win. And I think a lot of ways your steadiness can – I think it's no different than parenting. I think if you're a parent and you're moving with the highs and lows of life, then your kids are probably going to react that way. I think if you're a parent that can kind of put things in perspective regardless of the high and low of it, then I think your child has a chance to emulate those same behaviors. And I do feel not putting myself in the view of I'm not a parent to these kids, but at the same time, they're looking upon me to guide them in the direction that we want to move emotionally, mentally, and physically.
Watson, I could ask a million questions on this topic, but then you'd never get a chance to say hello to Tim Corbin, so the floor is yours.
Tim, as long as I coached, just some of the mistakes that I can remember, I think 46 years and 32 as a head coach, and I can remember the losses being killers and the wins were fantastic. And then as I got into it deeper, all of a sudden the wins were relief and the losses still hurt just as bad. And I'm not sure I did a good job of enjoying the wins down the stretch my last 10 years or so. Do you ever get to that point of feeling that way, or are the wins still just a static to you?
I would say there's a similarity to that feeling, Watson. I feel like in a lot of ways they're reliefs. They're like you finished it, and you certainly don't sit in that seat too long after a win and gloat about it. And I've heard your brother say some similar things about that too. The losses just stick on you more. It's like that ink pen that just breaks in your pocket, and then no matter how many times you try to wash the shirt, the stain's right there. And I think for a loss, that's kind of how you feel about it. You just can't get rid of it until you play the next day. Now, the difference in our sports, obviously, and the one that you used to play is baseball, thank goodness, has the opportunity to come back the next day and play, or at least a couple of days. You're not waiting 6 days again before you play your next opponent. And I think the losses in football would probably hurt me even more like they hurt you, just because you know that in order to redeem yourself, you got to wait 6 days, and the losses count more. It's like in football, those are dog years in terms of the effect they have on your team, where you can lose 20 games like we have before and still be a national champion. So I think it's just trying to put things in perspective, but we move on quickly from the wins. We don't move fast enough through the losses, but sometimes you can't. If you want to improve, those things are going to have to stick a little bit. You're going to have to take those experiences and use them to get better.
Tim, a baseball question to you. I know what pitching means in the college game, in all of baseball, to be very honest. And mm-hmm. and the two that you have in Rocker and Ladder, do you get, when you go through a long season in the league that you're in, and is there a point that you worry about letting them go too deep into games on the weekend, or do you just say, we're going to win this game, if we got to leave them in, we do? That, to me, would be a hard decision to make, because it's a long haul, and you want to win that day, but you also are thinking about all the way through. Talk about that a little bit and how you handle that.
Yeah, it can be a very difficult decision, because I'm not saying this as the overprotective coach, but between myself and Scott Brown, the pitching coach, those are a lot of conversations that we have throughout the game, because you reach that 90-pitch plateau, and at that point right there, you've got to decide whether or not you want to continue moving him back out there again, or you want to pull the plug. And I think a lot of it has to do with the temperature of the game, and how it's not so much the number of pitches, Watson, it's how much effort was in those pitches. And you got those games where you know the concentration level. It was like Kumar Rocker throwing those 8 innings against South Carolina. That felt like a 12-inning game, you know, as a coach. And for him, I'm sure it felt like a 12-inning game to pitch, because the game was so tight that he just had to keep the team there and not let the game get away from you. And that takes a lot of energy. There's a lot of mental energy that's put towards that, and a lot of physical energy too. And I think if you get to that point right there, then you got to save a kid from himself, because a lot of kids are going to tell you, especially the competitive kids that you've been around before, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, because they just want to be out there. But at the same time, sometimes you got to save them from themselves and say, no, we're not going to bring you out there. I know you want to finish this one, but you know, we want to win the battle and win the war. We don't want to just win the battle and lose the war. And really, if you start doing that at an early stage, you might not have their best in May and June, and that's really when you need their best.
Yeah, and George, I'll ask one more. Tim, to me, I want to hear what you say to this. I think it's a good thing to be in the SEC if you're good enough to be in the SEC, because you, and again, this year, unbelievable, the teams that are in this league, but you are so battle ready when you get to the time to head into the into the next season, if you want to call it that, with all the home games in the NC2A and then getting to the World Series or whatever. I think that's a major positive because your kids have lined up and done it over and over again, and yet winning your share, if you're losing those, it doesn't help. But don't you think being in the SEC and having a good team like you've had for years now, that you're not even maybe a step up when you head into the next season?
Yeah, there's no question about that. Iron sharpens iron, and I think if you're a team, you don't want to lose a lot of games, but at the same time, you need to get exploited. You need to get exploited to understand what your weaknesses are, because the only way you'll be able to correct those weaknesses is if they're brought to you. And if you're playing good competition, you're going to start to understand my swing's too long or my execution of a fastball in this area right here. I can get away with it against some competition, but you get inside the conference and you can't get away with it. And I think that's what you need in order to move forward. And you certainly understand that. I know there's a lot of good teams outside of the SEC, and I would never say that the SEC just encompasses all the best teams in the country, but this conference certainly recruits at a level, plays at a level, supports at a level that allows you to bring in the best players in the hottest temperature situations in order to develop a championship team. And I feel like that's what this league is all about. It's tough now. It's really tough because you feel, you know, we're done with a weekend and you feel like you played a football game on a Saturday. It's mentally exhausting, and to get your team ready to go again on Tuesday is a very difficult thing. But the rewards, as you said, we finished sixth in the league in 2014 and won a national championship. You just can't finish sixth in any other league and win a national championship with the exception of the SEC.
Tim, this was fun. Man, I love listening to this. I can't wait to have you on more and more.
Well, I appreciate that. Maggie and I miss you, George, and I did mention dinner last time I saw you, but we'll do that. And Watson, it's certainly a pleasure to get an opportunity to speak with you as well. Thank you very much.
I'm in, but Watson will tell you that you have to pay and pay no attention to him.
that's no problem right now. I still have a job. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Well,
great to talk to Tim Corbin. And, man, what a job that guy has done. We'll go to the break, and we'll see just exactly how Watson did when we got him on the hot seat for gifts to the people. I think you already know the answer.
Good afternoon. Traffic volume has increased 24 across the Sullivan Evans Bridge here up by Shelby. Working an accident over there on Clarksville Pike at Cliff. That's going to be in Bordeaux. Demumbrium Street at 13th was still blocked a few minutes ago on that two-car crash. That right now has some injuries. At first, it was not injury first at Dickerson Pike. Busy on Belinda Parkway over in Mount Juliet. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep with the Sharks, coming up on May 12th. All the details. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
And now Absolute Contracting Plus LLC, our premier full-service exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from Absolute Contracting Plus LLC, backed by over 20 years of experience and an A-plus rating on the BBB. For residential or commercial roofing, siding, or gutters, call today at 615-788-5031 and online at AbsoluteContractingPlus.com. Absolute Contracting Plus LLC, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
One of the legends, Icky Woods. We love pork rinds.
So you're not the only one. So I get some pork rinds, and I'm smiling high hog. Get your pork rinds, man. See, ain't nothing like them. They got all kinds, too. They got dill pickle, man.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. 4:47 is the time. My guess is this may not be Watson Brown's favorite segment. Because, you know, for weeks he's been sitting back there second-guessing all my losses. And they've certainly, he's had a lot of material to go with. But, you know, I kind of turned the tables on him last Friday. I don't know how many of you heard what went on, but I kind of, Watson threw one out there, and I jumped at it. Watson, do you remember what that one was?
George, my phone's going out. I can't hear you.
Right. Well, we're going to help you with that. Why don't we just mockingly hit gifts to the people? Watson, I would like to read for you just a little something here. Monmouth, which, as you know, is also a racetrack, crushes Kennesaw State in statement win. Final. Monmouth, which is also a racetrack, 42, Kennesaw State 17. How'd that one work out?
You know, George, you just you know what you're getting when you call on me. So I'm already dead last twice in underdog picks, and that's the only time I've done it is two times.
But underdog picks should not be.
When you get down and out, misery loves company. Just call on me and let me get two bad picks again, and then you back to where you're giggling and cutting up again. So I'm good for something. I'm therapy.
Right. What was the other one?
I don't even want to say.
No, I want you to say. Was it Tennessee State?
No. It was Jacksonville State and Murray State, and it was 9.5, and Jacksonville State won by 10.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Oh, no. Yeah.
When did you first, because this is very honest on your end, and I appreciate your honesty. It allows me to really take a cheap shot. When did you realize that you had lost?
I don't have to be honest for you to take a cheap shot, believe me.
When did you realize you'd lost by a half point?
Well, I was already done after the Kennesaw State pick. You know, I mean, you call my hand on that when I spoke.
Right.
There you go. Speak before you need to. And, boy, you jumped on that one, didn't you? And then I get off the show, and I look it up and say, well, let me make sure I'm right here. Well, Kennesaw State's playing with their third-string quarterback going into the game. I said, great pick. Great pick. So I kind of knew what was going to go down. I didn't expect 42-17.
Right. Did you listen to it on the Monmouth Radio Network?
No. I didn't even look it up on Sunday because I knew. I knew better than to look it up. And I knew how quick you would jump at it just as soon as. I promise you, you looked it up on the spot.
Well, hold on. Now, hold on. Saturday night after I got home from the Preds game,
you looked it up.
I was a little down about the loss, and I said to myself, self, check out and see if Watson got hammered. And lo and behold, you did.
Hook 'em horns.
It was a great. It was a hook great feeling. Yeah.
Just use me when you need me for therapy, George. That's what you got to do.
I'm
there for you, buddy. I'm there for you.
Watson, let me say this, that in the coming days, you know, with this extra hour, there are going to be, as we get to the NBA playoffs and the NHL, I am going to do some serious study. There's going to be a respect level aimed at me that will be unprecedented.
Oh, gracious. See, I'm telling you, everybody listening, just as soon as you can nail me, you come back to life. You just come back to life again. So it's just good therapy. I feel good about this.
You know what is amazing, though, Watson?
What?
It's not easy.
Oh, heavens no. That's why I don't want to do it.
I mean,
you just got me.
And I try really hard on these things to throw out.
You study it.
I try to throw out stuff that would be believable.
Do you study the? I hadn't asked Pogi this. Do you study really good when you're doing
the underdog picks?
Underdog picks.
Oh, good Lord! 3 minutes before we pick is when I first look at it.
I'm 10 minutes before.
Right. Now, the one that studied. Let me say this: the one that studied the most was the general Al Dorsey.
And he was pretty good at it.
He won the thing 5 years in a row, and one of the little stunts that he started pulling. Was I noticed one year he was taking a lot of Toledos. And so I decided to bring up that I felt like whoever you picked, there needed to be stands on both sides of the stadium. That one went over really well, but it really flustered.
I bet he loved that, didn't
he? Oh, it flustered Al for a minute. He didn't know what to say. But that's the beauty of that underdog competition. Gifts to the people. Has been a much more mocked deal. But I think now with a third hour, I think we're going to need some of that.
I think we could also get in a little Major League Baseball, pick a game or two that's coming up.
Oh, I think.
Especially Braves and Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
A little fun with those two.
Absolutely. Sure. For instance, tonight, okay, as we go to the break, let's just say it. Braves win.
And who is it tonight?
The Marlins.
Huh?
The Marlins? Who Oscar Enoa pitches tonight for Atlanta.
And who for the Marlins?
Don't know and don't care. Hey, Watson.
See, now, that ain't gifts to the people. They better be careful with your gifts on the Braves because you're so dang prejudiced with the Braves that I'm not sure I'd listen to you on those.
Spoken like a man who took Kennesaw State, who lost by 25 Saturday.
Enjoy it.
We will wrap this baby up when we come back.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic build. Ellington Parkway going outbound as you make your way 40 out through Wilson County. That's picked up quite a bit with that traffic volume through Mount Juliet. Clarksville Pike at Cliff. They're still working that wreck over in Bordeaux. And traffic still looks good right now. 40 westbound through Kingston Springs. All that traffic headed out towards Dixon County. True Friends Moving Company is now hiring. Call 615-240-2811 or simply go online to truefriendsmovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Martinsville Speedway, which started on Saturday under the lights and ended on Sunday under the lights after heavy rains halted the action. Let's take a look. 10-1, Kyle Busch somehow got a top 10 with a mangled number 18 race car. Then you got Kevin Harvick, Tyler Reddick, number 8, Christopher Bell, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, William Byron, number 4, Denny Hamlin led more than half of the race and ends up 3rd. Ouch. And in 2nd, Chase Elliott comes up 1 spot short of the win. So, let's head to Victory Lane now, where Martin Truex Jr. has become the season's first multi-race winner with his 29th career win, 3rd career Martinsville win, 3rd of the last 4 races at this track, and now with 3 grandfather clock trophies in his house. I'm not sure how he's going to get any sleep with that. Other stories on the day, Ryan Blaney won both of the stages, led a ton of laps in this race, only to get busted for leaving the pit box with equipment, the air hose and the gun. You're not supposed to bring that with you. Late in the race while running up front with about 43 laps to go. And a massive Talladega-like wreck when Kyle Busch and Chris Buescher banged fenders, took out the likes of Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Cole Custer, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, and many others on lap 386. Up next for the Cup Series is yet another short track, Richmond Raceway, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And Martin Truex Jr. has won two of the last three at this track. Keep an eye on that 19 car again.
TheFinalLap.com.
Today, I'm taking it to the streets to give people the good news. Oh, excuse me, hello. I'm Flo from Progressive, and did you know...
No, I'm just waiting for the bus.
So then you have time to hear about how with HomeQuote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance.
Yeah, if I was interested in talking to you, which I'm not.
Okay, I'll do the talking, and you just check if you can be saving, which is going to be pretty hard to do if you put on your headphones. Okay.
See if you're paying too much for home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, so I've been taking Garlique, and it works.
I take Garlique every day to help maintain healthy cholesterol. No garlic breath.
And Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency, so you know it works.
Take charge of your cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Before you move in and start making a lifetime of memories, there's something you should remember. The value of working with a realtor. A realtor is more than an expert in the field who abides by a code of ethics. A realtor is your neighbor and your ally. Someone who puts your agenda ahead of theirs. Someone who understands your dreams and has the expertise to make them a reality. Finding the right place starts with you and a realtor and the doors we open together. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, so now that we've indoctrinated Watson Brown into the you're not going to get them all club, Watson, tonight, pay close attention to the Blackhawks in Columbus. That's a big game for the Preds.
I agree. I think we're in, but just keep watching Dallas and keep watching the Blackhawks. Have you looked down the road? I know we got to go, George, but have you looked down the road? How many times would we play those two in the next 13 games?
Play the Blackhawks.
The good guys?
Play the Blackhawks three more, and I want to say twice with Columbus. There are no more Detroits, and that's bad.
How about Dallas? How many more we got with them?
I believe one or two.
So that means we're playing some of the big boys down.
Oh, we're playing the big boys. I think it's if you can get a point a night. In fact, I'm going to go really try to study that. Put the schedules of the Blackhawks and Dallas together, and will a point a night get it done? Watson, the music means we're done. I'll call you in a couple of minutes.
Okay, buddy.
I about said, you know, Johnny Ballpark Franks is next. I'm so used to that. But anyway, what is next?
We have a CBS program with Zach Gelb show come on, and then the Braves come on at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
Against the Marlins.
And they're going to win.
Guaranteed.
Book it.